The message today is about our all-sufficient Savior. The title is good. Let's see if the message lives up to it. What I'm going to do is read to you from Mark 5, but this portion occurs in three of the Gospels, the first three, and this is a harmony of the Gospels, so I'm going to bring in the details that Matthew gives us, that Luke gives us, in addition to what we have in Mark. Starting at verse 1. Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. And it says in Matthew that he was exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answering said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the demons besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were drowned in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with demons and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, Luke tells us. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the demon, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus permitted him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and he hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this book from which we've read. Let us know that men have told and recorded stories, and they have influenced our lives, but there is no book like this book. This is your book, our God. We remember that from it thy son did read in the synagogue where he was brought up. They handed to him the scroll, the prophecy of Isaiah. We are thankful that we have words from heaven, men writing them down, but words from heaven. We pray, Father, that the lessons that your eternal word contains, we pray, our God, that these lessons shall become a part of us, that we shall comprehend them today as they were understood then. So bless us this day. Prepare our hearts. Let us know that unless thy Spirit works upon the heart, there will be no understanding, there will be no change. And unless thy Spirit empowers the lips of him who speaks, there will be nothing accomplished. So work on this, our God, and we pray that thou shalt forgive our sins. You promise if we confess them, you'll be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. We look to thee for that. Bless our coming together today, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Why this portion is so remarkable is that it is unlike many of the miracles that are recorded in God's Word teaching us about sin. Because in John's Gospel, for instance, you have the turning of the water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son, the paralyzed man, the feeding of the 5,000, the opening of the eyes of the man born blind, Lazarus raised from the dead. But each one of these is one particular thing that was wrong with the man, emphasizing a picture of sin in one of its aspects. For instance, if you have a man that is blind, then here is how sin darkens the mind. If you have a man that is paralyzed, here is sin that causes a man to be unable to live for God, to walk for God, to live for God. You'll have each miracle accomplished by Christ, usually emphasizing one aspect of sin. Here is a leper that is cleansed, the uncleanness, the foulness of sin. But what is so remarkable about this instance, this demoniac, is that you have not one effect of sin, but a multitude of the effects of sin. That is what is so important. First of all, this man that is demon-possessed, notice, here he is, and he is influenced by an outside power that has somehow gotten on the inside of him. And so here is a man that has lost control of himself. It has driven him insane. He has lost his own identity. If you ask me, who am I? I'm able to tell you who I am. But the Savior says to this man, he said, what is your name? And he doesn't give his name. He gives what has happened to him. He gives his condition. He says, my name is Legion. That is a condition that is prevailed upon him. And at times, you hear the man speaking, and at times you hear the demon speaking. Here is truly a split personality. Here is a man that is empowered by a satanic power that is causing him to destroy himself, that is causing him to be a threat to anyone who comes in his path. There is irreverence. There is terror. You say all of these things in one man? Yes, that's a remarkable thing. And why it is so gripping is that this man, into whose life Christ came so long ago, seems to be a picture of people that are living with us now. Tell me, suppose you were in Los Angeles Do you think that you would feel free to go in that inner city unprotected? What do you think might happen? You saw what happened. It says this man was demon-possessed. He was exceeding fierce, and no one could come into his territory. He was destroyed. At the same time, man had done everything possible when at times the demons would stop agitating him, and they would come quickly, and they would bind him with chains and with fetters. But as soon as that demonic activity came upon him again, he was able to pop those chains and those fetters, and he was a terror to all that was in the community. And at the same time, he was self-destruction. Now, let me ask you, what are people doing today in Washington and around? You say they are destroying themselves. Yes. And what will they do to you if you come? You say they will destroy you. Well, tell me about their minds. Are they thinking clearly? You say, no, their minds are gone. Are they reverent toward God? There is no reverence toward God. Are they in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ? No subjection. They deny the name of the Lord Jesus. Now think, all of these things that are true of the aggregate of people around us are all illustrated in this one man that has brought our attention. Not just blind, as the man in 9, not just impotent, as the one in John 5, but here is one that has all of these characteristics caused by Satan's ministers, Satan the god of this world. And this man is affected in all of these areas. And having seen that, let me ask you, were any of the contemporaries of this demoniac able to do anything to help him? Why, yes, they put chains on him. They tried to tame him. You understand? What could they do for him? You say absolutely nothing. And nothing ever would have been done for him unless a man came upon the scene named Jesus. And when Jesus came on the scene, what man was unable to do, the Lord Jesus was able to do. You remember when the disciples were in the valley and our Savior was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples were trying to exorcise this demon, and they were unable. And as soon as the Savior came down, the Savior said, "What is happening?" And they told him, "I brought my son to your disciples, and they were unable to do anything." And the Lord Jesus said, "Bring him to me." You see the difference? Even the people of Christ at times are unable to do anything. They had the potential, but the Savior said, "This time cometh not out save by prayer and fasting." They had the potential, but they did not keep up that communion with God that enabled them to deal with severe problems. Some things they had done, but there are certain things in our lives that require a nearness to God, an empowering by the Spirit that is not ours automatically. To be indwelt by the Spirit is not to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit indwelling you simply means that He's taken up His abode in you forever. But to be filled with the Spirit is to receive His power and to be able to do things, to say things that under ordinary circumstances you are not. And so I'm not looking for the baptism of the Spirit again. That's once for all. In one Spirit we were all baptized into Christ Jesus. That's once for all. But the filling of the Spirit depends upon you and your communion with God. You can be filled many times. You are baptized into the body of Christ one time. And the disciples found it out that in the case of our Savior, I told you that I'm calling this our all-sufficient Savior. Because when this man that no man could tame met Jesus he was immediately conquered. Isn't that remarkable? And this demoniac down in the valley that nine of the disciples, they could do nothing about. The Lord Jesus said, bring him to me. And so I think the solution for the day is to simply bring Jesus upon the scene and all shall be well. But now, the Savior told him in the upper room discourse, he said that if I go to heaven and send the Spirit, he said, the things that I do shall you do also, and greater things shall you do. But you don't believe that. You and I do not believe that we are able to do for men today what the Savior did for that man then. You say, perhaps you are right. Let me give you an example. If our Savior walked into some of these troubled neighborhoods, they would not lay a hand on him. There was something about him that caused men to fear him. When he came upon this demon, he said, are you come to torment me before the time? We know you, who you are. There was something about the Savior. When in the garden, here come his enemies to apprehend him. The Lord Jesus walked up and he said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they went back and fell to the ground. I'm afraid that if you and I went in those neighborhoods, I don't think they would do that. But if that is so, then are we devoid of the power to do anything for men that are spiritually in a spiritual condition, the way this man was in a physical condition? And if we are, whom are we deceiving, thinking that we can? If we cannot, then our Savior has sent us on a mission that is impossible to accomplish. But I find that whenever God sent on a mission, he empowered to the accomplishing of that mission. At the same time, if he gave a task that was to be carried out, he gave the enablement of that task to be carried out. And so when we quote that portion in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You've quoted it many times. Do you believe it? If you say, well, I know it's the Word of God, if you believe it, then when we face these obstacles, you say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And at the same time, in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul spoke about the great task that lay before him. And he said, not that our sufficiency is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And if the Savior said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, before he said it, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all the nations, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Has the end of the world come yet? Well, then, is he still with us? Have we that mission then to go and help men spiritually that are in the condition of this demoniac? You say yes. Well, when has Jesus left us? You say he hasn't left us. In the Old Testament, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But I'm afraid that we are looking to some other source of healing other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only thing that will heal men like this demoniac is the same power that came from our Savior, but now it is through the use of his word that he is left with us. You say, how can that be? How can anything be done with words? This is what Paul said. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Tell me any power you have other than the power of the gospel to help this world. Use that power, and it will be like putting chains and tatters on this demoniac. And as soon as they put them on, he ripped them asunder. And they tried to tame him, but they couldn't do it. And you can take all of these criminals and you can put them in jail. And as soon as they come out, they're not tamed, but they will return to the pattern of life that they've lived in up until now, unless the Lord Jesus comes and with words converts them, causes them to be born again. And that word born again is born from above. The Lord Jesus and John the Baptist spoke about no man can receive anything except be given him from above. And the Savior said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. And the remarkable thing is this, that whereas this man who formerly could break chains and fetters after the Lord Jesus spoke to him, without chains and fetters, it says when they came back, he was sleepy, he was cruel, he was in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. What chains did he use? He said there were no chains and no fetters. What had happened? It was simply this, that the Lord Jesus had commanded those unclean spirits to depart out of the man. And at the same time, this man had realized who was the source of his deliverance, and now his attachment was to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to ask ourselves, because we who believe the Word of God, the only excuse we have is this. We do not believe that now we can go and open the eyes of the blind and raise the dead as the Savior did. If you believe it and can demonstrate it, I will believe it. But I've never seen anyone demonstrate that today. You and I believe as historical occurrences, all of the miracles of our Savior and of His followers, we believe them as much as we believe the other truths in the Word of God. But if the Savior at first gave those powers, then those powers were not continued to be given throughout the church age. At any time has our Savior taken away the power of the gospel to convert lost men? Then, the only power we have is with words. But this time of words, when Paul came to the Thessalonians, he said this. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, how that our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And when it came that way, he said, for this cause, brethren, we give thanks unto God, that when you received of us the message of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that worketh in you. And so that was the difference. You get up and you relate as fact the gospel, and nothing happens. But if the Spirit of God empowers you and you preach not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, then you will find that the Spirit of God, just as the Spirit of Satan gripped the hearts of these men, the Spirit of God will grip their hearts, and then there are chains on them, their arms and their feet and their inward being and their mind. You have a control over them, greater than any chain that man has put upon them. But it is something that is miraculous. It is something that must come from heaven. It is something that the Spirit of God must do through us. But it must be done through us. In Romans, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And they're not going to call upon the name of the Lord if they do not know about the name of the Lord. And if you say, well, they will not believe me, that's what Moses said. He said, if I go down, they will not believe me. God said, I will condemn. So it doesn't matter. What we have to do is to believe that the word of the gospel is still the power of God. and that the Spirit of God can empower our lips to preach it in such a way that the hearts of men are entered by God's Spirit and His Word. And it says, the Word of God, which worketh in you. So there are two things that must be done. Just as Satan's ministers were working in Legion, so the Spirit of God must work in the hearts of men. And the Lord Jesus has sent it from heaven for that very reason. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will convict men, convince them of sin and righteousness and judgment. And what happens is this. When a man speaks in the power of the Spirit of God, if he is an official, if he is a king, it says when the Apostle Paul reasons with Felix of sin and righteousness and of the judgment to come, it says he trembled. Why? Because the Spirit of God was working in him. Now, he did not receive conversion, but the Spirit of God was working in that man. And even when it came to Pilate, who abandoned our Savior to his enemies, it said that he was afraid. He went to the Savior and he said, where do you come from? When the Spirit of God is working in a man. Now, the thing that God has done from the beginning is to present truth to a man. And he accepts the truth or he rejects the truth. The only thing I want to know is this, that I present the truth of God to a man in the power of the Spirit of God. And then there is no more that I can do. There's no more that you can do. You can instigate every program and thank God for those programs that help individuals. But these programs are no more than chains and tethers and trying to tame natures that are fallen and are controlled by Satan, the God of this world. And nothing will ever happen. That is why you cannot educate the world evils away. You have to preach them away. You preach, and the Word of God works in some individuals, and we go and preach the gospel to every creature, and we are never going to be 100% successful. In fact, the world is going to be so evil that finally when Christ shall come and take his rightful place upon the throne of his father David, he will have to come from heaven and destroy with a sword from his mouth. Why? Because men are never going to become good men. Some, through the gospel, will be born again. And then they will be as this man. They will be completely changed. They will be new creatures in Christ Jesus. But the rest of them will not. And Christ, to set up his kingdom on earth, he must do it with physical destruction of all those who are in the world. So do not be misled by those round about you saying that it can be done by education, by humanity. You will understand that it cannot be done that way. Do everything you can. I've tried to help people. Some of you have tried to help people. But unless they're born again, they will take what you give them, and then that is the end of it. No moral change. But if the gospel of Christ grips their souls and they are born again, not only will they change, but they will be empowered. As it says in Philippians 2, it said, so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Not work for it, but work it out. For it is God who worketh in you, both the will and to do his good pleasure. And we have the gospel that works in them to save their souls, and then God that works in them to do his will, then something shall be accomplished. But do not be disappointed if all do not respond, because the Savior has already told us that there is not going to be that response. You remember? When the sower went forth to sow, some fell by the wayside, some upon stony ground, some upon thorny ground, some in good soil. And even those that came up in the good soil, only 30-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold. So let us not be disappointed. But because we see so few saved, and that question is asked, Lord, are there few saved? And the Savior answered, no, there are many lost. Because in that coming day, they shall seek to enter in, many shall seek to enter in, and they shall not be able. So our Savior has told us that. So what we do now is to not lose faith in the one power that God has given us for the salvation of men's souls. The gospel preached clearly in the power of the Spirit and then the gospel live by our lives. Because remember, it says in 1 Peter 3, concerning women who have unsaved husbands, it says that even if the husbands cannot be one with words, let them be won by the behavior of the wife, beholding your chaste behavior coupled to fear. So let us, by God's grace, manifest the life of Christ. Let us manifest the life of Christ by what we do, and also by what we say, and not as in Romans, and also when our Savior spoke of it, he said, all of these that sit on Moses' seat, they tell you what to do, but they do not those things they tell you to do. They place burdens upon you, but they won't lift one of the burdens with their little finger. They say and do not. That is not what Christ wants. And at the same time, it says in Romans that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the behavior of the Jews. And so if we are going to have any impact on the world, we're going to have that impact by the life that we live. And as it says concerning Paul in Galatians, that he who had once persecuted the church now preaches the faith, and it said they glorify God in me. And when people see you, do they glorify God or they blaspheme God? I tell you that when I see all of these television evangelists and I see that they are liars and charlatans, I say that if I weren't a Christian, I would blaspheme the name of God. But then when you see a godly Christian going through life, living in his life the gospel that he preaches with his lips, men will glorify the name of the Savior. Look at a Paul, and they will glorify God in you. Look at these hypocrites, and God's name will be blasphemed. But I want you to understand that our Savior is all sufficient. Only for a little while, when he was on earth, could men bring the problems that they were unable to deal with to him, and he could, in a moment, deal with that problem. But let us not be afraid. I tell you this, the trouble with the world today is they are uncontrollably fierce. At the same time, they are unashamedly immoral. At the same time, when they come to Christ in that condition, they are insane. And at the same time, they have no reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. But once the Savior comes and works upon them, it says this concerning that man, that all these things that were wrong with him, when they came, they found him sitting. Then he is no longer uncontrollable. He is sitting. He is no longer unashamedly immoral. He is clothed. He is no longer insane, not knowing how to think, to look upon life. He is in his right mind. And no longer is he blasphemous, is he irreverent, but he is seated at the feet of Jesus. And all of these things happen because of the power of the words of the Son of God. So let us preach this same gospel, and perhaps God in his grace will cause men to be seated and clothed and in their right mind and at the feet of Jesus, when God uses us today. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have shown us how frail we are, how weak we are, that you have shown us that there is power still in that gospel. It shall never lose its power, that your Spirit can still work in the heart of men. So our God, let us not revert to chains and fetters and seeking that man's intelligence to tame those round about us. Our Father, even they see the insanity. They see the terror on every side. But let us go and preach the gospel to every creature and dwell by thy Spirit and save and let men be born from above. And let us not think of using anything else other than the power of the gospel of Christ in dependence upon thy Spirit. And then give us the joy on occasion of seeing men like legion being brought to their sanity again and desiring to be with Jesus. Our Father, let us be a token of good today in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.